We're going to continue our Sunday night study in the Gospel of John. John chapter 15 and verse 1. We covered this in our last study, but we want to read the verse to get the context. John chapter 15 and verse 1. I am the vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Now that's elementary. Jesus Christ declares Himself to be the vine. We are connected. He is the one that gives us life and the ability to bring forth fruit. He says, my Father is the husbandman. He takes care of the vineyard. Now, tonight we're going to consider at least verses 2 and 3, God willing. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he, the husbandman, taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Now, tonight we want to consider in verses 2 and 3 the husbandman's care of the branches. And I want to say at the outset that those who believe you can lose salvation have taken verse 2 and verse 6 out of context in order to teach their doctrine of apostasy. In other words, that the teaching is that you can be saved and through a series of events or sins, you can somehow lose that salvation. I don't believe that. I believe that when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you have at that moment everlasting life, and it can never be taken away. You have it from Jesus. You belong to Him. You've been bought with a price. You have everlasting life. Now, I want to teach this tonight. Jesus, you've got to remember who He's talking to here. He's talking to His true disciples. Not to false professors. He is not talking to unbelievers. It is impossible for one of God's sheep, one who is attached to Him by faith, to ever lose the eternal life that was given to them as a gift. This truth has been repeated several times already in the Gospel of John. Perhaps the most famous verse, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus reaffirmed that in John chapter 5 and verse 24, when He said, verily, verily, which means truly, truly. This is a truth. I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, hath, present tense, hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. When He was teaching in John chapter 10 about the sheep and the good shepherd, He made this statement, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." Remember, the Father is the husbandman. So, we can dismiss the idea that Jesus is teaching somehow that one of His true disciples, one who has truly been born of the Spirit, who has been washed in the blood of the Lamb, who is indwelt by the power and the person of the Holy Spirit, who has the Word of God abiding in them, who has been given eternal life, they will never perish. It is an impossibility. Now, in light of this fact, and many other scriptures that are too numerous to mention tonight, we must immediately dismiss the erroneous and heretical notions that those of the Arminian persuasion, the free will persuasion, have set forth. The true branches in our text are clearly identified as those who bring forth fruit. Verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. He talks about them bearing more fruit. Verse 4, a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Verse 5, these are fruit-bearing branches. Verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. The true branches in our text and in the context are clearly identified as those who bear fruit, those who abide, who remain, who continue in Christ's love. Verse 9, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Those are the branches that bring forth fruit. These are the ones who are following the example of obedience given by the Lord by keeping His commandments. Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. Now again, to get the sense of the context here, the true branches are those that bear fruit, who abide, who remain, who continue in Christ's love, who follow the example of obedience and keep His commandments. None of those qualities exist in false professors of religion. They have no true abiding presence of Christ. Theirs is a withered, shriveled up, dead religion. Well, Jesus isn't talking about those kind of people. Now, notice in John 15:2, Jesus declares this. And I think there's an emphasis that's placed here. Every branch, and notice what he says, in me, united to me, connected to me, abiding in me, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. The phrase "in me" suggests a vital union that exists between the vine and the branches, between Christ and the believer. Now, Jesus is not referring here to a branch, listen carefully, that never bore fruit. He's not referring to that, but one that is no longer bearing fruit. And there is a difference. Remember, the parable suggests the fruitfulness of the vine and its branches while on earth. Now, why do branches become unfruitful? Why do they become barren? Well, there's two main causes. Infirmity, brought on by old age, and the blight of disease. That's why branches don't bear fruit. It is possible for believers while on earth to no longer bear fruit because of physical death or the disease of sin. And that's why believers are admonished, if you want to, turn over to 2 Peter chapter 1, keep your place there. I think this is a significant correlating verse, 2 Peter 1 verse 5, and beside this, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, now listen carefully to this language, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. These verses suggest that if the graces that are mentioned in 2 Peter are not active, it's indeed possible that a believer's testimony can become barren. That they can become unfruitful. And if such becomes the case, God will take them away. That branch will be removed. God will take them away from their earthly existence into heaven, because they're no longer functioning according to the purpose of a branch, which is to bring forth fruit that glorifies God. You know, the Bible, and I'm not going to get into it tonight, but the Bible talks about the sin unto death. And he says, you should not pray for that. The sin unto death, I believe, is when somebody who is saved continues in sin and is just not responding to God's chastening as they ought. God kills them. God takes them to heaven. They're saved, but they're not bringing forth fruit. And I believe this is serious. If you're not serving the Lord and you're not fruitful, you better, when He chastens you, you better listen. You could very well wind up like Ananias and Sapphira. They were both professors. And from all outward appearances, they were saved, but they lied about something that they shouldn't have been lying about, and God killed them. And it caused quite an uproar. Now, or God will set that person aside as a castaway whose life is no longer an influence for good. Paul the Apostle suggested this in 1 Corinthians 9:27, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. What is a castaway? It's somebody that has been completely removed and no longer has any influence. So the taking away in John 15:2 does not refer to being taken away in judgment or wrath, because the husbandman is said to do the taking away in this verse, whereas all judgment has been committed to Jesus Christ. John 5:22, He is the one who will say, depart from me, Matthew 25, and whom sinners will face at the great white throne of judgment, Revelation chapter 20. So this is the husbandman removing the unfruitful branch, either by death or just removing them so that their testimony does not have an influence upon others. Their failed testimony. Those who are unfruitful branches, God the Father either removes from the earth or He sets them aside. Every other branch that remains and is still bearing fruit goes through the continuing process of purging and cleansing through the Word of God. There are times that the branches get infested with insects, parasites, or moss, which serve to hinder their fruit bearing. And in such cases, the branches must be cleansed and purged with the water of the Word of God. I like what A.W. Pink said on this passage. The thought then is the removal by the Word of what would obstruct the flow of the life and fatness of the vine through the branches. Let it be clearly understood that this purging is not to fit the believer for heaven. That was accomplished once and for all the moment that faith rested on the atoning sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, but is designed to make us more fruitful while we are here in this world. Now, in light of John 15, 2 and 3, I think it is so important that we understand the vitality of the Word of God as a cleansing agent, so that we don't get infested, so that we do not become barren or unfruitful. Jesus says in verse 3, "Now ye are clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you." How important is the cleansing power of the Word? It's one of the keys to a life of lasting fruitfulness. It is the truth of God's Word applied in all circumstances of life that purges us from all that would hinder our spiritual fruitfulness. Psalm 119 and verse 67 and verse 71, he said, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn thy statutes." Even during trials, afflictions, difficulties, and chastenings, God is purging us with his word so that we can bring forth more fruit for his glory. Though many kinds of spiritual fruitfulness may be alluded to in our text, I think one of the most important fruits relating to our testimony is the development of patience in the process of maturity. You find that in Romans 5, James 1, and 1 Peter 1, verse 7. Let us never underestimate the power of the Word of God applied in our everyday lives. You know what the opposite of verse 3 would be? Now you are dirty. You're filthy. You're worldly. If you don't apply yourself to the cleansing power of my word. Very similar in his prayer in John 17, where Jesus said, "Now ye are clean," or where he said, "Sanctify them with thy truth. Thy word is truth." The opposite of that is, if you're not in the word, and if it's not in you, you are not going to be set apart. You are not going to be holy. You are not going to be fit for service. You are not going to be purged and cleansed and washed. I believe the doctrines of grace with every fiber of my being, but that does not at all dismiss my responsibility as a believer to be saturated with the Word of the living God and with a desire to live for Him and obey Him and love Him and worship Him and adore Him. Now ye are clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you. That ought to light a fire in every one of us tonight. If this is what will cleanse me and empower me and clean me up from the filth of this world, give me all the Word that you can give me. Pour it all in me. Make it a part of me. If we really believe what Jesus says, now ye are clean. And if you're a believer tonight, you ought to say, I want to be clean. Not just positionally. I'm justified from all things. I've been declared righteous through the justifying blood of Jesus Christ. But I want to be clean in my walk. I want to be clean in my thoughts, in my desires, in my affections. I want to be holy. Like He is holy. I want to aspire to be more like Jesus Christ, who is altogether lovely, who is the fairest of 10,000 to my soul, the one who is pure and holy and righteous. This is what we're to aspire to. And so His words should be so precious to us that we make them a part of us. How shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. All that we might be cleansed and purified by the truth of the Word of God. If only we would bring ourselves to daily wash in its purity, our testimony would be cleaner and henceforth more fruitful in the service of our gracious husband. Let us pray that the sanctifying influence of the Word of truth be our daily portion. We are positionally clean and pure by virtue of our union to the vine. We also need practical purity on a day-to-day basis, which requires the application of the word of our Lord. That is not legalism. That is a desire to have the Word of God and the Holy Spirit directing our thoughts, our lives, our ways, so that we might be more obedient. Because let's face it, take a good, honest look at yourself. You know that you're a sinner. You know how easily this world can get into your thought life, how it can ruin your attitude, how you can stray from the truth of the Word of God in your daily life. That's why we've got to have the Word in us as ammunition to fight against the wiles of the devil. He is as a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. Your ammunition is the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith, and the whole armor of God. We're in a fight, and we're not going to win without the Word. We're not going to be strong. We're not going to be clean without the application of the Word of God on a daily basis. We ought to read it. We ought to meditate upon it. We ought to memorize it. We ought to pray over it. We ought to walk in it. We ought to live in it. You know, the charismatics, the old Pentecostals will say, I believe you got to live it, brother. I do too. I believe that we need to live the truth of the Word of God. Josh, what time is it? Come on, son. Who? What? 7:45. All right, well, I got a lot more, but I ain't going to get it in 5 minutes. Next Sunday night, God willing, we're going to look at what it means to abide in the vine. Verses 4 through 6. Abiding in the vine. I can't wait. I'm looking forward to discovering the truth in the Word of the living God. Now let's pray tonight going forward that what's been preached will actually be applied. Let's pray that you and I will live in such a way that we're a branch that desires to continually bring forth fruit until we take our last breath. Let's pray that we'll have a clean testimony. That when others view our life, when they hear us speak, when they look at the way we conduct ourselves, what we talk about, how we live, that they'll be able to say, that person has been with Jesus. They know Jesus Christ. And they know His Word. And they must know the truth of John 15:3. Now ye are clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you. May the washing of the water of the Word prepare us as individuals and as a church for the coming of our Lord. All that we would love His Word more. That we would have a sincere desire every day to feast on this bread and taste and see that the Lord is gracious. And be instructed and encouraged and empowered to live for the Lord and to be a witness for Him. Because the Word in us needs to be going out. We need to tell it to other people. Listen, if you come to the church house and you're getting off, you get filled up with knowledge and truth, you got to have a release for that. And that's where witnessing comes. Tell others about the saving power of our great Savior. Let's all stand.